Hey, everybody. Super fun show. We talked about the current state of affairs in this NFT bear market and what we think is going to happen. Is this a short-term thing? Is this a long-term thing? Is this a repeat of previous cycles like the 2017 ICO phase? We dig into it. This show was sponsored by Space Plus. So we have Emily and Chris from Space Plus on stage for the show. We gave away three NFTs and another 100 allow list spots in our Discord. And people that hold the Space Plus NFT have an actual chance to go into space. They've already bought the ticket. They're sending somebody that holds their NFT into space. It's so cool. Check out the show. Hope you enjoy it. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Live from Goblin Town. What? NFTs are going to zero. Why are you all here? I didn't think anybody was going to show up to the show. What is going on now?
This music is unacceptable.
What?
Sorry. I just want to apologize to everybody. Sorry. Please pause.
What?
This is a moment of silence for everyone. Our fallen NFT trading soldiers. No, Pio is being disrespectful here. Pio, I need you to be quiet during this moment, okay? Please. No, it's not funny. A lot of people didn't sell at the top. I don't know why you're laughing. Can you please silence yourself? Yeah, you want me to be silenced during the opening. I would like this moment of silence.
May they rest in peace.
Oof. You know, for all those, thank you to everybody for some of those soldiers, you know, it was a tough battle fought this weekend. but you know, we're back at it. Despite the fact that the chart is just going literally
just
straight down.
Just flip it. It looks way better.
Down only, right?
You know, it can't always go up. And a lot of people, I was like, I'm going to buy Ape. You remember like literally a week ago, I was like, I'm going to buy Ape. I don't know. My target price is like $6. And people are like, it's never going below 10. It's never going below 10. Okay. Let's not ignore the amount that I bought at $16 the other day when we thought that Elon Musk was literally buying the entire NFT ecosystem. So I just want to focus here for the moment, not on that, but on the prior call that I had before that, which was I'm interested in picking this up sub 10, somewhere around between 6 and 8. That's what I'm aiming for here. And you know, a lot of people, including myself, I'm going to be honest, you know, I have a pretty, big bag of NFTs and, I haven't sold them all off. I'm just standing with them, sitting with them in my bag, watching the price drop, you know, and sitting here and just feeling peace, knowing that I sold a decent amount of them and that I dumped some of that stupid fucking land on everybody. Okay. So that's.
I was doing great stacking a bunch of ETH until the price of ETH started dropping. It was great in the meantime.
Yeah, having liquidity is always a good thing. I like to stack my liquidity in USD, GUSD.
Yeah, Grandpa, we know.
One thing everyone should make sure they do, though, is if you feel like ETH is towards the bottom, you should flip your ETH to WEETH because that's a tax realization event. And then you could realize your losses because there's no wash trading in crypto. So if you're down horrendous, like most of us are, then that's one way you can feel selfless is by paying less taxes.
You just turned me on with that. That is a great idea.
As you can tell, Spencer's a legit guy. You know,
Spencer's
we're all
just casually motivated. Like, here's how you can tax loss harvest with a click of a button.
Yeah, all the way down.
When you swap it back for ETH later on, you're just going to realize those gains, right?
No, you're going to realize another tax loss because it's going to keep dropping.
Yeah,
so what you want to do is keep realizing back and forth along the way. until you're able to find until you realize that it's not going up.
When you don't need ETH anymore, WEEP is fine because for the next 6 months, we'll all just be placing offers on NFTs as they slowly bleed out.
Yeah, it's a great point. You'll be getting discounts all the way down.
We got somebody. Go ahead.
I was gonna say somebody in the Discord said everyone sounds so much poorer on the show. like, what the fuck does that mean?
In the words of Dave Chappelle, I'm rich, bitch.
Deadfellas teetering on the one ETH floor.
You still have yours, right?
Are you just going to tell us all the death and destruction, or should we get in this weather report and really prime it up?
Let's read out the floor prices one by one.
Yeah, and actually, we can replay that song while you read the floor prices.
Actually, cool cats.
For ETH.
Dead.
Dead, fellas.
Dead.
1.078. Mebits.
Dead.
4.92. Sup ducks.
Oh god.
0.395.
Like 3 weeks ago. You didn't hear?
I bought that at 0.49. We've come full circle. It's down. Vayner Sports Pass.
Unfortunately, also dead.
0.19. Your None boy bought five of them at 0.4.
I have 10.
Okay.
I bought an assload in the company wallet too.
Oh my gosh.
Oops. Looks like we got to buy more to average.
What happened
now
to that wallet that you're doing the one ETH challenge on?
Pia thinks. Pia was like, Nick, you're not touching this wallet anymore. I got this under control. How much more of our money did you lose?
Pia hopped on the stallion in the 11th hour and just ran.
The one has been replaced with the one soul challenge, unfortunately.
Sorry, I didn't include cryptodes in there. 2.28.
That's actually holding up. Like, that's pretty good. I mean, this is kind of like sideways.
Wasn't it like 6 ETH floor or something, those things?
It was 14 at one point, but it's been hanging out down here.
So in the traditional like world, basically in down markets, art actually does really well, but luxury does horrendous. So the thesis there is that cryptodes are art, but everything else is just luxury.
No, the problem cryptodes. There is nothing in this market is either art or luxury. It's just all junk.
Can you go from being a Veblen good to not being a Veblen good? Do you get that taken away from
first
it?
First of all, it's a vegan good. And second of all, could someone pull up how junk bonds do in a recession? Can we pull that? I think that's the best correlator. Anyways, I got a weather report for you. If you're
absolutely, please.
You want to hear it? I mean, Nick already primed it up pretty well, so. But you have to kick it over to me.
Send it over. I'm like off my game this morning.
Insert sound effect here for weather. Oh, sorry. Hold on one sec.
I actually got one for you.
Thunder.
I'm just having so much fun reading the Discord. My bad. I'm not doing my job. Over to Kix for the weather report. What's going on, Kix?
What? Did you really need that?
I did.
No, I'm not talking about you, Captain Kix. Unmute yourself.
No, I appreciate Captain Kix wanting to keep the show structured.
Well, he's still muted, so I don't know how that's going.
I don't know if you can hear it. It's not good out here. It's panic in the streets. I just saw someone get shanked by a broken beer bottle. I'm going to get this report out quick and get back in the news van. The weekend volume yesterday was $52 million. We didn't expect it to go that low. People are freaking out here. Apes are below 100. They're at 96. Munes are below 20 at 18. Other deeds broke 3 like it was nothing. Clack, Doodles, Moonbirds, Azuki, everything's down. Wonder Woman at 4.6. What is Wow G even sellable anymore? Cool Cats at 4.1. Some idiots are still buying other deeds. Someone bought one for 625 ETH. Then this gang killed the guy. I don't know what happened. Doodle announced on the 12th, holders will be able to claim a DupliCopper. No one gives a shit about that anymore. Floor at 18. Cyber brokers, they tried to buck the downward trends. Coco Bear bought over 100. He said, just because I can, and it did literally nothing. The floor is all the way back down again. Some guys were trying to exit scam people on art blocks. Ringers, Fidenzas, Squiggles, and Gangers. Gazers were the best performers over the weekend. The old guard is just scamming people on the way out. The stock market's down due to inflation or something. We don't even know. Economic data out of China looking weak. Crypto's down. Bitcoin 33K, E 2.4, Ape $11. Back to you in the studio.
Well, we hope you can get out of that mess you're in, Kix. Holy shit, it sounded like World War Z or something. It sounded like Children of Men out there. That was really something. We hope that our weather reporter, Kix, is able to make it home safely. What a market that we're in. There is death and destruction everywhere. Basically, right now, the Discord is one by one posting projects and just being like in disbelief at how low the floors are. They're just like, holy shit, 10K TF Genesis is a half ETH, which is crazy. That's crazy how quick some of this stuff is pulling back.
Wait, what's 10K TF down to? My God, am I holding some bags?
I think that's a bugged floor. I saw that too, and I was like, holy crap, but I think it's at 0.86.
Okay, well, that's a little bit better. World of Women Galaxy is a great thing to bring up because it's like, holy shit, that thing has pulled back hard. It's kind of gnarly out there. I was looking, Smiles versus Floor is under 0.4 at this point. I mean, comparatively speaking, that thing's holding up relatively well. I mean, I don't know. It's gnarly out there for sure. We got Chris Bennett on stage. I want to call out that we have a sponsored spot today with Space Plus, and I'm really, really excited to hear about that. But Chris,
oh, you have put out the tweet for this.
Yeah, put out the tweet. We'll get it retweeted. Everyone's going to have a chance to win a Space Plus NFT.
So literally, go to space.
Yeah, you are really going to like hearing about this. This is juicy in a bear market, a bull market. This is the
power. You can escape to space. That to me is as good as it fucking gets. This is a perfect giveaway for the day.
It's literally perfect. So we appreciate Chris joining us for that. But Chris is like, Chris has some gnarly experience in the markets. So I wanted to just throw to Chris, not even for the sponsorship or anything yet. I just wanted to hear, because I know you got some really good stories, man, including the interesting story with the Bored Ape. But could you share any, like, you got, I know you have like five stories. So anything you want to share, I'm all ears. Yeah.
Okay. One, thanks for having us.
My pleasure.
Very, very excited to talk Space Plus later on. Maybe the delay it takes you to get to space will be so good, because by the time you get up there, you won't know you're down 500 ETH on your bags.
Well, you don't need to come back at that point. They don't accept NFTs in space.
Or there may be a reversal by then.
That's exactly
true. That is true. By the time you'll go up, it's down. By the time you get back, it's up. But yeah, really excited to talk about that in a sec. Yeah, this is crazy. So the first thing I do every morning is I refresh my WAGMI wallet. I don't know if you guys use it, but I love it for trading, the WGMI.io wallet, because you can put in multiple. So I have my hot wallet, my hardware, all that in one dashboard. And usually you refresh that on a Monday morning and you're like, this is going to be a good week. You're good to go. I'm down like 400 ETH, I think, from last week.
Good God.
Yeah. But I have a lot of big, you know, I mean, the blue chips got hammered. And so you're going to see that from the beginning. But yeah, it's interesting. There's a couple things that I've, from behind the scenes, even while building Space Plus 2, and then from my friends that have been making more me bullish that this might not last as long, or that NFTs might be the one that survives it a little bit quicker than the rest of the traditional markets, is that around... One of the things I felt so good about all year was all my friends that flip dog coins, you know, the altcoin guys that have been doing crypto for years, were never in NFTs and were always like, dude, you're stupid. That's so dumb. It's illiquid. You know, I can just hit a button and sell and things like that. And when the other side land sale started after Apecoin's piqued their interest for sure. That's when I started getting all the Floki traders and stuff texting me and in Telegram and all that stuff. And then other side happened and they were like seeing people making money off of NFTs while the rest of the coins have been going to zero before we have. And they started getting into it. So I'm hoping they start to see, you know, low floor prices, maybe they're probably a lot better at us at moving to stables and stuff before before markets crash. And so I'm hoping that there could be a lot of new money from people that are realizing you can make money in NFTs in a really good way as opposed to coins. I don't know. That's one thing that I just noticed before the market tanking the last couple of weeks, a lot of coin traders starting to come into NFTs.
Yeah, Kix has been talking about that too. And I mean, there could be something to that. Look, we're having that's a
3-for-3 top signal now.
Look, we're having fun talking about it, but you never know what's going to happen. But Chris, you know, you have some really good stories, you know, in the markets, I know. And I'm excited, you know, just to hear about any of them.
Yeah. I got a win for everybody to feel good about themselves. And I got a loss too, a bad one. So the win is in February, apes were like 90-ish. I found out about arcade.xyz, where you can borrow against your JPEGs. And I put up one of my apes and pulled out. I just wanted to be really smart and not pull out like 50% LTV or anything high. I just wanted to test out the platform, both from both sides. I wanted to test out lending and borrowing. And this was right before Proof had done their first drop, Grail. So I had been in Proof. I minted on the day back January when it went all the way down to 1 ETH on the Dux auction.
Smart money.
Yeah, I bought two, flipped one at 5 ETH thinking I was awesome, and now I'm in Proof for free. But I, after that move, I had always been FOMOing that it didn't have more than one pass. So Grails is about to come out. Grails started to come out, and people are minting their Grails and then dumping their Proof pass as if that's all Proof was going to be, and it was over for the next 3 years on Proof. So it took Proof from like 32 ETH down to like 26. And then people started to FOMO and list their Proof passes that hadn't been used for Grails, even at that floor too. And so I saw one on LooksRare that hadn't been redeemed for Grails for 26 ETH. So I borrowed 30 ETH from off of one of my apes, bought a second Proof pass, and then went and minted a second Grail. And I ended up getting the Tyler Hobbs wall Grail, which I haven't checked today, but has been holding it around, you know, 16 to 20 ETH. So I minted like a 20 ETH Grail off of the second Proof pass, got the second Proof pass. My plan was to ride, I had 100 ETH as an exit for the Proof pass, to ride it up to 100, flip it, pay off the loan, which I had to pay 3 ETH on top of the 30 ETH, so 33 ETH over 120 days. And then I had, you know, a bunch of extra stuff. I had another Grail. I was going to go buy a Punk. That was going to be my plan, to go like buy a Punk. I came in right after Punk really went nuts last year, and I bought my first two NFTs were two Bored Apes. So I was really lucky with that. The reason they were was because I had missed Punks and was so salty about that. So anyways, then ApeCoin comes out, and I just
get this guy off stage.
I paid off the ape the loan with my ApeCoin airdrop instead, and so now I still have two Proof passes. And so then that got me 4 Moonbirds.
Damn.
So that was pretty sweet. That was a good win, you know. It was all from borrowed money, borrowed against the ape, bought a second Proof pass, got a second Grail mint, and then got two extra Moonbirds. One of those Moonbirds was really rare too.
Incredible. But
were you telling me to take out loans right now and ape blue chip? Is that what I'm hearing?
Dude, I don't know. I actually am looking at a lot of these floors and I'm like, man, apes are still high enough. I could probably pull out another. I mean, I could probably pull out 60 off of an ape now and feel pretty comfortable. I don't know, and go buy like another Moonbird and Azuki or something. But I don't know. That is very. It's very degen to pull out money against a JPEG to buy more JPEGs.
It's a scary thing.
It's terrifying. Scary. But I'm also the one currently long Sol right now on a 20x margin. So wish me luck.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. What's your interest rate on that loan for borrowing against your JPEG?
So they on ArcadeXYZ, you can negotiate and people will bid. It's peer-to-peer. So it's not DeFi. That's the one nice thing about it, is like if apes do go from 90 to 60 and your loan is 60, you know, or something, you don't get liquidated. You don't automatically lose your ape. You just got to, you know, still pay that in a down market type of thing. So it's peer-to-peer, and it's all based off of terms. You can put out what you want to do and hope people accept it, or you can just put up the JPEG with no terms, and then people will bid against it, and then you can accept that too.
Yeah, I mean, leverage can be tricky. I know, Node, you were telling me that you actually borrowed against your CryptoPunk. You took out, a $30K loan, you said, and then now you're yielding like 10% interest, but the loan is only 2% interest?
Yeah. So that's JPEG. The protocol aptly named JPEG 69 is you can borrow against your punks at a flat 2% interest rate up to like a 33% loan to value ratio. So I did that. I took out 30K and then I'm farming it and making 20% on it in interest. And so, and then if I see an opportunity after NFTs are down another 50%, maybe I'll start scooping some stuff up. So yeah, it's definitely a degen play, but I'm keeping my, the actual loan that I took out pretty low compared to the value of my punk. So I think my punk can go down by another 50% from here and before I get liquidated. And so I'll just, right now, since I'm keeping all that in stables, I'll just pay that back. I'll pay it back real quick if everything really capitulates from here. So
careful what you wish for.
Does it do a margin like DeFi where it would liquidate you if you let it go?
Yeah. It would liquidate me. You can buy insurance on it if you want, which will allow you to buy it back with a small fee later if you end up getting liquidated. But yeah.
You're a true degen when you're pulling out a loan on a site called JPEG 69.
Yeah, you know it.
For sure.
That's the world that we live in now, that a reputable financial institution is called JPEG 69.
I bet he wouldn't have trusted it enough if he didn't have that name. That's exactly probably what attracted him to it.
It's an indicator that they're Web3 native.
It is. Well, it's Tetranode. Yeah, it's Tetranode and then DC Investor as an advisor. Yeah. So I trust those guys I would trust DC with my life. In fact, we need to get him up here. We need more long-term people. But wanted to give a quick shout out to Chris Bennett. For those of you that don't know, Chris Bennett is my life coach, spiritual coach, health coach, JPEG coach. He has it all. So I highly look up to this man. If you have any questions about anything in life, he can answer them all. 100%.
All you got to do is DM him.
Right.
Yeah.
Blow up his inbox now.
Yeah. Well, sounds like his trades have been absolutely awful. He's only ended up with dozens of blue chip NFTs. So I really feel bad for him. Chris, I'll shed a little tear here for the pain that you've experienced recently.
I have two quick bad ones. One, never list anything you're trying to trade in and out of quickly and then go to the dentist. So I listed all 9 of my clones. I had 9 clones from Mint. I had all the shoes and stuff early and got the vials, minted 9 clones. None of them are rare. I had like 2 Murakami drips. So I wanted to trade, sell all of them, and then buy like 3 rares. List them all for a little bit above floor. I was like second or third in line for the trait that they were, most notable for. Go to the dentist for an hour. Artifact announces Nike's acquisition. And I come out after the dentist. My phone is going stupid. And all of them have sold and the floors have tripled on all of them. And so I ended up selling 9 clothes at an average of like 4 ETH, 5 ETH each. That was pretty bad. That was a bad one. So never list when you're trying to trade in and out of something and then go be away from your phone, go in the ocean or go to a dentist or anything like that.
Well, look at this guy making a measly $100,000, like a loser.
His like bad stories are six-figure wins.
No. Okay, I do have one last bad story that's really bad. During the ApeCoin merch drop, like 2 months ago, they screwed up on the commerce checkout with ApeCoin in your MetaMask. So I was really early. I was trying to get the rug, like all the rare stuff. And my transaction didn't go through, but it did take my ApeCoin out of my wallet. So I lost like a ton of ApeCoin, and I also missed out on the merch. So I have 2 apes. So I move one of them that was in my hardware wallet. I move one to my hot wallet, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go buy all that merch I just missed out on. And I go to do it there, but instead of the ape in my MetaMask, I send ape to my Coinbase account, my exchange Coinbase account, because I also saw they had Coinbase Commerce. That worked beautifully. Super quick, went right through. Long story short, was pretty cool of Yuga. Shopify was able to save my failed transaction and prove it. They refunded me the ape and gave me the merch free anyways. So I thought that was really cool of them. But because of the FOMO and because of all that happening so fast, I went to move my ape, one of my apes, back to my hardware wallet, and I accidentally sent it to my Coinbase Ape Exchange wallet. So it is floating in the ether right now with like a 50-50% chance of me getting it back. It's been 7 weeks and Coinbase is still working on it. I think that's a good sign that they haven't like cut me off and said no. I went through the normal customer service and they were like, what's an ape? You know, they're like, what's an NFT? And I was like, oh, dude, I'm so screwed. I just lost my ape. And then Space Plus is a Coinbase launch partner. And so I got connected to really high up security people there and they are working on it. I'm thinking best case scenario. So I haven't been able to claim land off of that ape either. And I'm trying not to tell myself that it has like a mega coda on it and that could like free up my whole bags right now and be positive. But anyway, so there's a real L for you, Nick.
I hope that you can get it back in time to be able to claim the land because of that gamble, that lottery. But no, we appreciate the stories, both positive and negative. It seems like even your negative stories end up in six-figure wins or potential mega quotas. But no, we're really excited to learn more about Space Plus later in the show.
Yeah, you and Nick would get along great with your war stories of losing while making hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Make sure that you retweet the tweet at the top for a chance to win. Space Plus drops tomorrow. We're going to talk about it later. But yeah, retweet that tweet at the top for a chance to win. Nick, were you going to say something?
No, I was going to actually say retweet the tweet. That was all that I was saying. We should definitely trade war stories sometime, you know, because that land drop, I missed out on an extra $50,000 or $60,000, and it's a bunch of bullshit. So
I wouldn't worry too much about it. We got my pal Matt James, the Bachelor, on stage. Matt, I think this is your first time coming on stage. What's going on? I figured it was a butt dial because he listens, but he doesn't usually come on stage. Matt, was this a butt dial, buddy? 100% a butt dial.
Yeah. And he's emojiing right
now. He's emojiing. You're on stage, Matt. All right. Well,
He has the mic off too while he's doing it. That's the best part.
He's probably working out right now, just pumping iron, getting ready for the next season of The Bachelor. He's going to be the first person to go on The Bachelor twice. And yeah, I'm going to go ahead and assume this is a butt dial. Well, Matt, if you want to chat, you absolutely can. Clearly, you can emoji. But we got Spencer with his hand raised. What's going on, Spencer?
I wanted to tell a funny war story too, since everyone's down horrendous today.
Sure, quick one, yeah.
So I was 10% of wash trading on the first day of Looks Rare, and they just didn't give me the tokens. And I've tried to reach out to them and have had no response, which isn't perhaps the most surprising because they are definitely a security. And since there's like no legal entity behind it, there's like kind of no recourse, right? So, you know, that just kind of, it is what it is.
You accounted for 10% of all wash trading on Looks Rare?
The first day of Looks Rare. We stopped wash trading after they didn't give us the tokens.
How much did that cost you?
I think we were owed like a quarter million tokens, maybe a little bit more.
How much did it cost you to do the wash trading?
It was like 2% of whatever everything we traded was. It was a lot of ETH.
So definitely at least, well, it's a lot of money. Bottom line is that it's a lot of money. And I think Lux token was worth $2 or $3 at that time. That's pretty gnarly. So we got Iceman on stage from the Nifty community. Iceman, what are you going to report on? There's no action in the Discord. Like what do you want to talk about right now?
Hey, P.O. Sorry, I'm just coming into my third job here. I had to pick up because everything in the market has gone to shit. And now I'm looking for another one. If anyone, I work at Subway.
Subway, okay. Over.
Yeah, I can get a good discount on a footlong for you, brother. If you're looking for tuna, anything like that, the Iceman has got you. Opposed to JPEGs, everything in life is now shit. And I think the Discord has kind of now refrained to minting just, you know, the lowest of the low projects. I think Sunday night, me and a few people got into, I can't even remember the name, Dino T-Rex, Crypto T-Rex, you know, just a very quality project.
You mean Tiny Dinos or something like that?
No,
one of those things?
No, no, no. It was even
no, this is worse.
Yeah, it's a different small dino project.
Yeah, you know, you could buy a few dinos. You can burn them to get a mega dino. It's pretty awful. I think other than that, you know, the Discord is buzzing with the mint of the burbs that we've been doing for the last, you know, 4 months, it seems. And I'm pretty sure Slime Flu and Popcan own probably 75% of that collection. But no, other than that, you're right. We are bleeding. The only other real interesting thing is this social experiment. I'm not sure if you saw the Discord getting passed around. But I think in a time where nothing is going right, everyone is just joining that Discord and kind of speculating on what it is. So that's really the only fun that people are getting in this market is speculating wildly.
Yeah, Moonbirds is getting absolutely punished. It's sub 19 right now.
Woof! That's
and
a
if
good
you remember,
price.
Yeah, if you remember, Easy had a very big campaign to kill the Moonbirds, and I'm pretty sure it's working.
This is because of Easy, so shout out to Easy Eats for killing Moonbirds. You know, I want to hear from Captain Kicks because there's been a lot of jokes from Captain Kicks, but I know that in situations like this, I feel like Captain Kicks, you know, he has ideas on how to approach these situations. He's been popping into the Discord telling people to take profits. You know, Kicks, what is your genuine belief of what is about to happen? Do you think we capitulate by another 50 to 75%? Do you think we capitulate by another 90%? What do you think is about to happen for real?
Yeah, I mean, it's always, you know, hard to tell. You know, of course, like we've been kind of immune to the poor macro effects for a while, and it looks like we're finally starting to catch up, and the rest of the markets are continuing to get worse. I think the thing with NFTs is that there's a lot less liquidity, and it can cause people to panic more. I don't think that this is going to be like a V-shaped recovery in NFTs, so I think the smart play is to just wait for everything to like consolidate in a range for a few weeks. And I mean, right now could be the bottom. And so we consolidate for a few weeks. I think there's probably a little bit more pain ahead. You want to see more dumping to really low ball offers and floors just pulling back pretty hard and people saying like NFTs are dead, like, you know, when CNBC says that, that's probably a pretty good sign of the bottom. But yeah, I mean, you kind of felt it coming after other side, just because the daily volume dropped so hard. I think we would probably be in a similar situation without other side, but I think other side accelerated the process because it trapped a ton of liquidity in the NFT market. I mean, almost $500 million got pretty much like locked in there. So yeah, I think the most, if I was to make a prediction, there's probably some more pain ahead. And you want to just be patient, just like in the stock market, right? Like you could have bought anytime in the last month and you're still down because you didn't wait for some like consolidation. So but I still think that there will probably be some like trading opportunities, and there could be some plays with like new mints and stuff like that. But I would definitely be cautious adding exposure until we see consolidation for sure.
For sure. And so you and me went through at this point, actually, just about a year ago. I mean, really, it's a little bit over a year ago, like 13 months ago, we went through the big capitulation of Nifty Gateway. And that's actually the first time that NFTs are dead started trending on Twitter. So like, if for people that don't know, Nifty Gateway was like a lot of people's onboarding to the NFT space. I'd say there were three classes in 2021. There was the Top Shot class, the Nifty Gateway class, and then the Bored Ape Yacht Club class. We all know which one of those three did best, right? So it's the Bored Ape Yacht Club class. Holla at your boy, Nick. But anyway, me and Captain Kicks came from the Nifty Gateway class, right? And so we
saw the
bubble basically burst where, you know, people were essentially buying JPEGs with leverage because Nifty Gateway you bought with credit cards. So everybody like accrued a lot of credit card debt in the process. It was a harsh bubble bursting. There was a ton of NFTs are dead stuff on Twitter. And then Bored Ape Yacht Club came out, right? So the biggest project ever actually came out during that period of time. It led some people like me to be skeptical about deploying more capital into the NFT space. But people that had gotten wins on Nifty Gateway like pulled their money out and on Top Shot aped in. And we all know the rest is history from there. But Kix, do you see parallels now to that experience? Because I feel as though we're not even in that bad of shape yet compared to where we were at there. It was really ugly there.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely more liquidity now than was on Nifty Gateway, but if this is like another true NFT bear market, then we probably have a good amount more of pain to go, I would say. I have like a, you know, firsthand experience trying to sell a Mad Dog Jones Lotus train when the liquidity started to dry up, and like I was gonna accept this offer for 30K, didn't, woke up the next morning, the floor's at like 26K. I ended up getting rid of the thing for like 15 grand. And I think it ended up going, you know, down to 8 or something like that. So, because there's only liquidity if there's buyers, right? There's not like liquidity pools for NFTs. So like people can't just like, and they can't just dump a fraction of it. They have to dump the whole position. So like what you can have is you just have, you know, way more sellers than buyers. And if that ratio is off, then, you know, you definitely start to see a lot of pain. I mean, a lot of people have compared for a while NFTs to kind of like the ICO phenomenon in 2018. You know, if that's the case, and it kind of has played out similarly where like, you know, the rest of the market's going to crap, but ICOs were doing fine.
No, thanks. Thank you very much.
So I personally think that there's a greater than 50% chance that there's more pain ahead for us. And like, that's not to panic people, you know what I mean? Like, that's not to like make, like, I still have bags, like, and I'm not like driving home to dump everything on the, floor. But yeah, I think you just have to be smart about it and realize that at the end of the day, for NFTs to go back up, we need more liquidity and we need more buyers and sellers. And the tough thing with the macro conditions is that like people are getting absolutely demolished in the stock market. So people that had money in there, they don't exactly have money to shift over. The crypto markets are getting wrecked. You know, pretty much everything's, you know, inflation's making cost of living a little bit higher. So I think the smart play is that, yeah. And Pia, we learned this on Nifty Gateway, is the bottom is deliciously good in terms
of it's unreal. It's unbelievable.
Unreal. Yeah. Like you're talking about like 20, 30X from the bottom opportunities. It's just that you don't want to catch a falling knife. You want to wait for the bottom to, you know, clearly indicate itself. It's like it based on the market conditions, if we were to hit a bottom, it's probably going to sit there for at least a month, if not two. So I think you're going to have plenty of time.
Yeah, I think so too. Some examples, just if people want examples of what Kix was talking about, saying that the bottom was delicious, is that the projects that were on Nifty Gateway that emerged to be long-standing successes in the NFT space that come to mind right away would be XCopy, Artifact, right? So Artifact and Kix, you should mute yourself. Yeah, all good. So Artifact actually did a collaboration with Ferocious on Nifty Gateway that you could have just scooped up at the bottom, and that was like an easy 30X. XCopy's Afterburn was available on Nifty Gateway for like $1,000. That topped out and was actively being traded at $30,000. I mean, there's more and more. There's a lot of examples of notable creators on Nifty Gateway, the good stuff, right? Not the stuff that ended up not even sustaining in the NFT space, because there were plenty of creators that were just out of the space completely. And when you look at some of the projects that are being traded on OpenSea right now, I think that you can start to discern that there are a lot of projects like that here that we will not be talking about 1 year from now. But obviously, there's plenty of projects that we will be talking about. And I think that's it's a lot more obvious now. now because there's more of a track record. There's venture capital backing. There's real history now in the NFT space besides just projects like CryptoPunks and the stuff that came historically in 2017. Nick, you know, how are you feeling right now? How are you feeling about everything that's going on? I'd be curious.
Me?
Yeah, you. Yeah. Are you eating a bagel?
No, I'm not. You know, I'm just looking at the market. I mean, look, I've been selling on the way up, you know. I've been doing what you're supposed to do and taking out cash and giving myself a little bit of comfort. That said, I mean, I'm still always too exposed to NFTs, but I feel like that's on brand. And otherwise, yeah, I mean, I'm feeling pretty good. Most of the stuff that I'm holding at this point is blue chips outside of all of the NFTs that Easy has suggested along the way. And other than that, I'd say that it's pretty good. I mean, that said, there's plenty that I own that are like down 80%. And I look at those and I say, yep, should have sold them. but... You know, at this point, there's not much you can do. You could sell out here. You could take something like a pre-mint or something like that, sell it. You could take any of the other ones that are holding up. You know, one that's been holding up incredibly well is Adidas.
Yeah, that's wild how well that thing's been holding up. The claim
window has opened for you to get a... what was previously last week a $4,000 tracksuit, $4,500, is now worth only $3,700. So if you're interested in a $3,700 tracksuit during a potential financial during economic challenges, that's when I look for the expensive tracksuits. But
Nick, can you rerun those numbers for the Bored Ape merch that we all purchased an ape that at one point went up to like tens of thousands of dollars for a hoodie?
I lucked out on that. So my order failed. I got refunded and then I got an email saying they were sending all of it to me for free. So it ended up costing me. I did spend a couple hundred dollars, but I only ended up spending a couple hundred dollars and got what theoretically is thousands of dollars worth of merch.
Look at Nick just dodging another bullet and just getting a free payday. What's new?
it's obviously going to be everyone's most expensive outfits that they own. Like they're going to be wearing these to weddings because there's so much money.
No, the blanket is what I have. That's the main one. And I'm very excited about the blanket to keep me warm during the cold weather that we're going to be experiencing. Maybe summer. Winter.
Well, here's the thing is that the nice thing about the Nifty Alpha show is that we have a lot of experience dealing with this. We're like the wise old men that can't hunt anymore, but you don't kill them. You keep them in the village because they have a lot of wisdom. And so a couple of things. One is if you're trying to buy in these conditions, you should work on getting really good at making offers. This is the kind of environment where if you want to buy something, you should be making offers, not buying the floor. And you'll often get much better deals doing that. So that's a strategy that over the next however long this is, a couple of weeks, couple of months, you want to get good at. Basically, you're kind of like at a flea market. You know what I mean? You need to be a haggler in these markets to get the best deal that you can get. If you want an indicator, actually, using that same line of reasoning, and I think Nick pulled this data at one point in time, I think it was maybe in the November pullback, but if you look at the percentage of overall sales that are two offers, once that gets like above 10%, you're definitely, you know, a lot of the bleeding probably has already come through. If that number ever got up to like 20%, either the world's ending or that's a great sign that you're like starting to potentially bottom out and can get some really good buying opportunities.
Okay. I'm about to go and find that query right now so I can run it live on this show.
If for anyone who may be making like collection offers on looks rare, if you do it on much shorter time spans, you know, because if the floor is at 2 and you put an offer at 1.5 for the collection, but then the collection floor starts dropping, people may end up accepting your offer even if the floor starts dropping. You may have a higher offer than the floor itself. It actually happened to me on 10KF a couple of days, 10KTF a couple of days ago. So I would just say keep an eye out on that for sure.
Great tip. And I was going to bring up LooksRare because LooksRare implemented a feature that OpenSea had a full calendar year to implement that wasn't like some secret. It was available on other platforms like Nifty Gateway. But OpenSea decided that they just didn't want to do anything for a full year. And LooksRare came through and actually implemented it. So yeah, for people that don't know, you can just say, I want to make X offer on Y collection, right? So let's say you want, like, I don't know, the Adidas NFT, for example. You can just make an offer on the whole collection. And then anybody that has the collection can click on offers. So that's a lot less time consuming than putting out individual offers, which, you know, someone like our very own Jesse is a pro at. One thing I wanted to point out is someone tagged me, Paulos in our Discord tagged me that the one of the mods in the Gucci Discord server said that the Gucci NFT holders are actually getting presale to an Adidas and Gucci collab. So, hey, that might have to do with the and I guess there's a snapshot for Adidas next week. So that might have to do with the Adidas floor holding up so damn well in this market. And that's something to look out for. I still have my Gucci ape. I did not sell that thing. So we will be keeping our eyes open for that. Also, I have one in the company wallet. Go ahead.
There's one other thing, which is that right now they're encouraging you. Basically, you get to burn your Adidas NFT. It doesn't look like a lot of people are burning them because we still have over 11,000 of them, but it upgrades it to level 2. So when you burn it, you're going to get the next one. It sounds like airdrop to you. So right now there is a second one, phase 2. It's selling for slightly less, but phase 2 is an ape instead of a punk, which is pretty interesting. So it does look like there's 18,000 of those people that have upgraded. Wait, sorry. No, it's the exact same NFT. the screenshot is of an ape. But yeah, so you can upgrade it essentially, and you get the phase 2 one. And the floor price there is comparable to the phase 1.
Okay.
When you burn the one on the site for the merch, you redeem it for the merch and put in your shipping, then it puts the new one in your wallet right after.
Do you have to pay for the merch?
No. All it is.
Oh, well then, so then what's basically crazy, I should just go claim the free merch.
That's yes. What I did, even though I don't care about a tracksuit. I was actually waiting for, I thought the unclaimed ones would have pumped a little bit more, but they weren't. The new pass is basically the same price. So it's like, well, I might as well claim the free merch. Could even try to sell, you know, a yellow tracksuit that I don't care about or something.
Yeah,
because it's like the same price. But I'm really surprised at how these are holding up. It's great. They haven't even moved.
There's been an ARB for a while, actually, where as they're moving, they don't move correctly. And sometimes the phase 2 is actually the same, exactly the same price or more expensive than the phase 1. So if you buy, claim, and sell, you can essentially get free merch.
So that's pretty cool. I mean, I'm surprised that with the supply that Adidas has that it's been holding so well. Nick, you said there's 11,000 left. That means that 9,000 have been burned, right? Because there were 20,000 total. So almost 50% have been burned. That's a considerable amount.
Yeah. The numbers actually show that there's more. So there's 11,000 and then it shows the other one has 18,000. So I don't know. Maybe this was closer to 30,000.
I don't know. But Node had his hand raised. What's going on, Node?
Yeah,
over. You're just like whatever numbers. Node, what's going on?
Yeah.
Node, let's stop talking to Nick. You know, now that we're on memory lane, I don't know if Nick remembers the first time that we met was when I sent my creature to his wallet, which are now down 80%. Do you still have your creature, Nick?
Oh hell no! I sold it immediately because that was underwhelming.
Yeah, okay. I'm still bag holding, but with Adidas, I do think like the reason why it's probably holding up well is because they're one of the few projects that has yet to reveal like what the big thing is, right? So there's still anticipation of, is this going to be a PFP project in the future? What are we going to do? And so everybody loves being able to continue to play the lottery. So I think that's why they're holding up well. But I wanted to bring up the generative art pump, because, you know, some of you may think that this is you know, like a scam pump, exit scam, and who knows, there's far smarter whales out there than I am. But I think it's interesting because generative art has already, you know, on-chain gen art, it's already gone through a crazy pump and bear market. And so I'm wondering, you know, if this is, if there's actually going to be a separation, a little bit of nuance in the markets, right? Because the one beautiful thing about art is it, all that it is what you see is what you get. And so, you know, I wonder if during times of an overall NFT bear, you see, you know, higher net worth individuals or people that are interested going after something like art that might feel a little safer because there's no execution risk. You don't have, you know, all these projects that come and go and they have to try and keep up with things. They just know, okay, I think this is a piece of fine art. I'm going to hold that. So I'd be curious to hear what other people's thoughts are on what's going on with the generative art stuff. I'm just happy because I have a couple pieces that are actually up compared to everything else.
Yeah, it's just an exit scam by old NFTers.
Look,
it's logical because if you're really looking, I've always said, you know, this is not real art. This is more collectibles and, you know, luxury culture sort of access buying. But if it is real art, the things that are going to sustain, they're not going to be, it's going to be basically Fidenza as one of the earlier ones and some of the, you know, it could even be Squiggles, probably not. But it could be Squiggles, Fidenza, those, X Copy. I mean, if you're really thinking in 20 years, what are people going to be thinking of? Like, you could actually see somebody thinking about X Copy. Like, art is a commentary on, like, the human condition and how we represent. And X Copy is, like, this angsty, digitally native thing, you know, Jen Stark. Some of those could easily be seen as an art class. I would not put anything else in the art class, not Drift or Shoots, not, you know, I shouldn't name any names, but I just did. So some of this other stuff to me is not going to be considered high-end art.
I mean, Jesse. Of course, Drift would be in the art category. I mean, he's a photographer. He's not doing like a
It'd be the art category, but I'm saying thing. In 20 years, is somebody going to be looking at a Drift or Shoots thing, or are they going to be looking at an X Copy? And to me, that's the class of like really high-end. What would you be buying now as high-end art? But yeah, okay, yeah, it is the art category. But yeah, if I was buying, I would still be and wanting to hold value. I would think it's a very select group of projects.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
with the shed is kind of interesting, though. I do agree with him that, you know, I would see it probably in the one of ones, right? Like in a bear market, rich, sophisticated investors would probably try to get good deals on one of ones potentially, right? Like one of ones.
I would not even like, I know that Josh Bobrowski was always big on this. Like he liked World of Women because it was like, he analogized it to like, you know, the famous art is always women. Like I could not disagree more. It is not an art. It's not valued as sort of the profile, like I don't know what you would call it.
It's like an in between, Jesse. It's like you know, people can put their focus on the art aspect of it, but it still has, you know, liquidity like a PFP project would.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't think the correlation is there. I think people buy it for the exact opposite reason that they would have a picture of a woman on a painting. But it's, I mean, I always have cautioned against that there's just not enough data. It's like, this is like pre-industrial revolution trying to, you know, analyze like some weird market where there's like two companies. And I just don't think any of the data, whether it's ICOs, whether it's in the last, I just don't think any of it can be really leaned on that heavily. I mean, and if in 2 weeks, like mutants pump, like, things settle down a little bit and, you know, there was some sort of bill passed to pump the economy or something settled down in Ukraine and then all markets kind of settled and then mutants were at 40 again, everybody would be like, you know, see dummies, like this actually was a buying opportunity. I don't think many of us feel that confidently, but it's not by any stretch of the imagination to me a done deal that we are just in a, you know, like you said, falling knife or, you know, complete capitulation. I mean, we've been here before where it's been 5 or 7 days and then Azuki happens and it's 3 months of everything up. I don't see that happening, but I wouldn't put anything out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah. I mean, look, first of all, whenever you're in a situation like this, nothing ever feels obvious because if it felt obvious, then I would have bought a bunch of X copies at $1,000 knowing that 3 months later, they were going to literally be $30,000 a piece. Like, I don't know if you guys wouldn't do that trade, but you buy something today for $1,000 and 3 or 4 months later, it's $30,000 with liquidity. Like, I would do that trade all day. So the whole point of this is that no one knows what's going on and things are only obvious in hindsight. Maybe right now, it's the biggest mistake in the world to buy floor Bored Ape Yacht Club land. other side land. Maybe it's literally the biggest mistake ever because the whole thing's going to go up in flames and it's going to literally go to zero. So anybody that's buying it right now is lighting money on fire. Or maybe the absolute bottom is 3 weeks from now and then it's going to, you know, be up only for a year. And in a year, in hindsight, this was the best time to buy. So nobody knows. That's the whole point of market activity. It makes it incredibly tough. I wanted to go on record and say that I disagree with Jesse on the art front. And I think that a lot of good artists are in the space already, and they could be artists that have massive value long term. And just like things aren't obvious in terms of like market cycles, the same thing is obvious where you don't know which artists are going to be sought after decades to come. And only time allows that to play out. All it really takes is for the traditional art world to start to actually accept NFT native artists as proper artists. And as you see that very slow onboarding of the traditional art world, right? Because you're going to see the slowest onboarding for all the traditional industries, and you have to think that old world fine art is going to be just slow as hell. Although, look, I mean, the big auction houses have already participated with NFTs. So at the end of the day, money does help this stuff. And I think there's a bit of recognition that there's a lot of money in digital art with NFTs. But as you see the traditional art world start to come around to the NFT space, that's when you're going to start to see NFT artists really recognized properly. And you'll see the price reflected in the work, especially if traditional whales from the art world get involved.
So yeah, I definitely don't think this is like an ICO. There's no question that we have crossed some sort of threshold into cultural significance, right? I never was a big believer in, you know, community. I always thought, okay, your community, you know, like if you've ever been to a real community, like a church or something, like there's actually like values there. These communities, like what is the Cool Cats community? Like I always said, if it goes to zero, if your community is still there, you have a community. But for the most part, most of these communities are discords with dudes posting memes. Like that's not really that sustainable in terms of intrinsic value to a human being and like the human condition. So I think it has blown up some of the narratives. I do think the utility is probably where the value is going to hold. I mean, you could easily see one narrative where if a Taylor Swift basically said, here's my access pass to everything I'm going to be doing the rest of my life, it would blow up. It would absolutely blow up.
So real quick, and I was talking to Nick about this, and I'm going to throw to you in a second, Nick, but really quick, I just want to like emphasize what Jesse just said, because clearly Jesse gets it, because I brought this same thing up to Nick yesterday. The difference with the ICO thing is that there wasn't any actual utility in the ICO era. I'm sure people will try to say like, yes, there was, and obviously there were still winners. Decentraland came out of that era. But even if 99% of the whole, you know, space went to zero from there, there still were isolated winners. The difference is that we're just further along in the development of this technology and the actual utility. And I'm using that word, even though it's like this overused word in the NFT space, but it's really the most like direct and applicable word to use when we're talking about this stuff, is you look at Kevin Rose Proof, right? That's a 1,000 person collective that essentially gets some degree of access to this successful entrepreneur from Silicon Valley that has a proven track record that's expressed that he's dedicating his life to this space and to this project. That has value to people. If Tony Robbins turns around tomorrow and says, look, the next generation of Tony Robbins shit is through this NFT that I'm putting out, you're just going to have people flock to that thing and it's going to go to the absolute moon, right? And the Taylor Swift example is perfect. Go ahead, Nick. I don't know if you want to add to this. You disagree, but the point I'm trying to make is
Decentraland is one of my favorite examples of great success where it's worth billions of dollars and we still have a whopping 500 people who have used the product. So that's one, and it's only taken them 5 years to get to that point. So, you know, if you were a local Subway store and you had that many customers, you would shut down. And if you were a traditional startup, you would shut down. But because we're in crypto, you can build something for 500 people and,
and it works.
It works for now. And people are willing to speculate on that being worth actually something. It's funny, though, because we say that, like, you don't, in the NFT space, you don't even really want to deliver anything, which is why I think on that, from that standpoint, that is comparable to the sort of ICOs of yesteryear. But, you know, we'll see what ends up happening. There is quote-unquote utility from some of them, but the majority of the utility that people are hoping for with And I think where you look at the price of Bored Ape Yacht Clubs, like the Apes in particular, it's basically anticipation that there's going to be another $100,000 airdrop in there. And so like
MetaMask,
it's coming. And the distinction in price between Punks and Apes, that diff is essentially, or that gap is essentially the anticipated value, the present value of future airdrops, if you want to really like calculate that properly. Yeah, you can say it's because people want to hang out in a club in Miami. I don't think that's worth more than like a few thousand dollars. So you can essentially write that value that at zero. I don't think it's because people want a hoodie. You can value that at zero. I think you can, the Discord, I'd also include that at an approximate value of zero. And so if you think about it, you know, I don't think that ultimately the price, all that matters is the future value above, and then also above the actual collectible value, of which I think Bored Apes have now entered a high price on the collectability. And I think that there's people that are going to want to print them on the wall. And I think that they're, and hang them on the wall. I think there's other, you know, people that are going to want the collectible aspect of it. But there's a premium over it. Anyways, I didn't take off mic in order to say that, and discuss the viability of Decentraland. Only a couple hundred people have retweeted the tweet at the top, which is hilarious because we're giving away three of these NFTs, which we're going to be learning about in a minute. And my understanding is you legitimately have a chance of going to space. It's associated with Blue Origin. So one of the community members will get to actually go to space. So, and I'm assuming there will be a video of that person going to space or something, or at least a photograph demarcating the fact that they did indeed go to space. I don't know if you'll be interviewed the same way that Jeff Bezos was. But regardless, right now you have a 3 in 200 chance of going to space for retweeting that. So what
that's not the actual probability.
Well, sorry, divided that by 100, so, or 1,000 or whatever it is. But, you know, like math. Like a lot of people come on here and they ask me, they say, Nick, give us numbers, give us calculations, give us probability. And so what I'm going to do is just make up numbers. Don't hold me to it. But, you know, three people got a shot here. Three people are going to get an NFT that gives them a shot to go to space. So thereby, there's a chance that you end up in space. And let's be honest, right now, if there was ever a moment that you wanted an escape hatch to get you out of this planet for just even a moment, then I would say that this is it. And maybe you can land back after the sort of the radiation has gone down in whatever your local town is. Anyways, that's a positive vibe to go on. Let's talk to the team behind them that are developing an escape hatch to avoid radiation. Am I reading this description of this project correctly?
That's the copy that Chris gave us to read, right, Chris?
Where are you guys living with that much radiation?
Wait, sorry. What were you saying, Chris?
Oh, no, I was going to say, yeah, that's the Blue Origin approved copy right there.
Okay, got it. So really, Shout out to Jeff Bezos.
He wrote it himself.
I think I have shared on stage my Jeff Bezos, how I met him a couple of times. Would definitely approve based on the interactions that I had. Literally, if I met him today, he'd have no idea who the hell I am. Let's be clear.
We know. So, Chris, you know, this is an exciting project because if you want to talk about real life utility, you're literally sending how many people to space? Literally?
So let's have Emily. She runs our Twitter and our community. Kind of give a quick background. She's much more better at explaining than I am.
Is she on stage?
Yeah, it's Space Plus.
Space Plus, baby.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, Emily?
I've been stealthily just listening to your space. Thanks so much for having us today.
Oh, our pleasure. And you know, before we go any further, I'll just say, we're sorry.
What? Wow.
I'm just kidding.
Pio apologizes for the show, which is what everyone was anticipating. But look, you know who's not sorry? me.
Okay? We know, Nick. So we're aware. You're unapologetic. We know. We know.
Nothing a sponsor wants more than the host of the show to apologize to them before they talk about their product.
Exactly. I know. I'm feeling really good. Well, you know what? I'm Canadian, and so apologies are like second nature. They come out of my mouth every second, and I am very comfortable with the word sorry. So no need to apologize. Well, let me just like give a little bit of context. I know it's kind of a crazy day for us to be having this conversation, and it's a wild space right now, but maybe I can provide a little bit of excitement and hope and something a little bit new. So Space Plus is a project by a company, a public aerospace company called Uplift Aerospace, based out of Park City, Utah. So we're a Web3 project by this aerospace company. And as a company, Uplift is pioneering advanced technologies for a multi-planetary economy, wild, right, to revolutionize humanity's connection with space and promote the conservation of Earth. So really a two-pronged approach there. And so to achieve this, we have a range of projects. Space Plus is not our only project, but the umbrella that all of these projects are encompassed by is that we are building out the social, digital, and physical infrastructure to support not only commercial activities, but also cultural events between Earth and space. And we really think this is where humanity is going. And as you guys may know, Nick, you've met Jeff Bezos, so I'm sure you're fully aware that we're currently in this crazy renaissance period for advancements in the private space sector over the past 5 years, and it is not slowing down anytime soon. And so Uplift Aerospace is contributing to this rapid increase in innovation that we think, the industry really needs to drive the industry forward, but also humanity's interests in space forward. Like, how, as a species, do we want to move forward in space? And we think that's a really important question. Go ahead.
No. I didn't mean to interrupt. You can finish your stuff.
They're kind of complex thoughts, but I guess just tying Space Plus in, in the short term, we think that developing and building out Web3 infrastructure to actually create relationships between those on Earth and those in space is going to be a massive part of how humanity moves forward in the space sector. So the Space Plus program is integrating Web3 infrastructure, AR, VR, NFTs, and blockchain in the first Web3 space program to facilitate access and democratize access to space. Go for it.
Well, this is just pretty bonkers what you're describing, but I think for context, we went through a sort of accelerator type program. And there were like five companies in that program all focused on the private aerospace side of things. So I think what you're saying there is definitely legitimate. I think for people who may not be as familiar with that, with space in terms of as a business, I'm curious what, like, so it's the vision that you shared for Uplift is a multi-planetary marketplace. From a practical standpoint, like, what does that actually legitimately mean? Like, how are you thinking about that? And more importantly, like, are you guys just funded for decades to come in order to envision that? Or are there steps along the way where you're like, hey, we have to develop this product and generate revenue from it in the next, 12 to 24 months?
Yeah. So we have three main projects and pillars that are building out our short and long-term goals. It's all really under the umbrella of pushing forward commercial activities in space. The first aspect of it is like building out the digital infrastructure, which we think over time will be very profitable. People are going to space every month. In 2023, there's a billionaire that's going to be orbiting the moon for 2 weeks by themselves. Like, what on earth are you going to do with your time orbiting the moon by yourself for 2 weeks? Like, you need experiences. You need access to things on Earth. You need ways to, like, make transactions and validate those transactions. And we think Web3 makes so much sense. So that's really the short term, is like building out that infrastructure and the community to support that those types of activities. But then
what you're saying is you're creating a SkyMall catalog for a billionaire who's going to be orbiting the moon. Is that correct?
It's a decent analogy for sure. Not only will they be able to buy things, but like, talk to people on Earth, have some experiences, watch movies, all of those things
What's the Wi-Fi like up there?
Well, you know, building out the digital infrastructure, that's all part of it. Obviously, they do have access. Currently, I can't speak as like to the speed of it currently, but obviously, you know, people are aiming to be able to do greater and greater transactions all the time. We have a contract with NASA on the International Space Station with this new project called Constellation Vault for Uplift Aerospace. So that is directly involved in sending physical goods from Earth to space, and our community has access to that as well. So sending things to the International Space Station for every holder in our community, as well as high-level artists and brands as an exhibition platform for some of the most incredible things that we have here on Earth. And then our real long-term goal is actually the physical infrastructure in space. And our Lunacrete project is a part of that, where we are actually building the engineering technology to support making lunar structures on the moon with lunar regolith. And we actually conducted our first test of the Lunacrete this year, which was extremely successful. It's on our website. We have lots of our project's details up online at upliftaerospace.com. So really, you know, from short term to long term, these are projects that are already going on within the realm of Uplift Aerospace, and we're going to be doing them anyway. But the whole point of Space Plus is to bring everyday people like you and I, who are not, you know, engineers, and bring them into the activities that we're doing in the space sector and provide greater access and democratize access so that everyone can really, you know, if they would like, have a voice for where humanity is going in space.
Well, there you go. I mean, Nick, would you go to space if you won with Space Plus?
Hell no. I'm not interested in going to space. I'm gonna die here on this planet. I remember listening to, I don't know, it was like Logan Paul or someone was discussing, chatting with Theo Von on his podcast, and he was like, I want to die on another planet. And Theo Von was like, yo, that is a rich ass person thing to say. But in all legitimacy, I am curious from your, as an organization, you know, ultimately, like, the private space sector needs to continue to expand, you know, if we are going to expand to other planets. You need that to, like, in a significant way. And for us to actually have living humans, you know, operating on other planets at a large scale. So it's an important step along that path. How do you all, like, is your primary customer NASA, or is your primary customer, like, billionaires and stuff for the next, like, you know, couple of years?
Currently, it's mostly organizations and brands that are interested in interacting on the Constellation Vault to exhibit their work and in space, and then not only that, but then come exhibit it at home. We have coined this term called the space quotient at Uplift Aerospace, where, you know, we see this massive, massive increase in value for goods that have been sent to space and then safely returned. And that's, you know, that's one of the really interesting aspects of that project in particular. In the long term, our customers and collaborations will be very heavily based in, like, manufacturing and space, and what goes into building out physical infrastructure on the moon in particular. The moon is a really interesting site that people are, you know, have highly, highly focused initiatives on developing as a resource center for then jumping off into other locations in space. And so that's really what the Lunacrete project is all about. And so, you know, we're really trying to tie in all of these projects that we're already doing with a Web3 space program for our community members. As really the first part of that, you know, we're able to offer suborbital space flights through our agreements, microgravity flights, rocket launch events, professional networks, and payload space on the International Space Station. And, you know, to the tweet at the top of the space, we have already bought a ticket to space for our community. And we are currently searching to hire a community astronaut from our holders to go to space and actually exhibit our collection in space. So we will, from our holders, have people apply to be astronauts with Uplift Aerospace under the Starborn Collection mission. And then our community will select a top 5 from those applicants. And then the community will vote on who they think will best represent our community in space and who will be exhibiting the collection in space. So we're going to be sending our NFTs up, our whole collection, and there will be a live feed. So there will be a video of this entire event. And yeah, I mean, so that's the whole point of the tweet at the top of the page. Head over there if you're interested in going to space. The community is actually going to be picking the astronaut from our holders. So if you hold a Space Plus NFT, you'll be eligible to apply. And then our final five will be voted on by the community. Pretty wild.
I mean, what a pitch. Retweet the tweet at the top if you want to go to outer space. I mean, wow, Emily.
It's five people?
This is like a salesperson's dream. Go ahead, Nick.
Sorry, it's five people, not one?
So currently it's going to be one. We will be sending more people on. As I said, we're building out a Web3 space program. So we're going to have additional missions, much like NASA, right? Where we're going to have councils, missions to space that will be coordinated with different phases of our project. So the first part will have five finalists chosen by a panel with an uplift. Those five finalists, we will not know who they are. We will choose them based on the merits of their application. It will be a blind judging process. And then those five finalists will be put forth to the community, and one person will be selected to go up very, very soon on a Blue Origin New Shepard rocket. By no means will this be the only astronaut from our community. This is just the first step.
Is there a minimum age requirement for someone to go up into space?
18, yeah.
Got to be 18, Nick. Come on now.
I'm just thinking someone may want their kid who aspires to be an astronaut to go to space PO, but I understand you may not think about those sorts of things. But
just because you want to send your future kids to space doesn't mean that all the good parents that listen to this show.
Well, my future kid won't be 13 by the time they fly to space here, which is when I feel like would be a minimum in my mind sort of time frame for some to send a youth to space. But it sounds like they need to be 18, so this is all irrelevant at this point in time. I saw Micah had a hand raised. And then if you haven't retweeted the tweet pinned to the top, you got a couple more minutes, and then we're going to draw the three people who win the NFT. By the way, owning this NFT is not an obligation for you to go to space. It just entitles you to enter for the opportunity to go to space and apply.
Yeah, so we will take a wallet snapshot of the applicants at the time of choosing, to make sure that the applicants are our holders. That's the requirement there. Yeah.
All right. You still got a question?
Oh, no. I was just going to ask about if there's something special about Web3 that helps them with the ping issues between, you know, when they're talking multi-planetary stuff, so we're talking Mars probably. Is there something about Web3 that's making that a more viable technology for this interplanetary stuff? Because I'm trying to imagine playing Call of Duty, and just the ping issues you're going to have playing with someone on Mars is probably going to be pretty bad.
Nice joke.
I'm not actually joking. I'm honestly curious if there's something about like the blockchain that would make that, like, okay, not actually playing Call of Duty, but like, make communication better? Like, is that a viable technology that they're talking about because at least you could organize the blocks as they come in? Like, is that actually something that's been discussed? I know this is like way out. This is not related to the, you know, space travel or anything. This is way out, but you mentioned multi-planetary stuff. So then I'm curious about if that is actually something that people who are considering that question are taking into account.
Oops, sorry, I was muted there. So, you know, we're developing the community. My personal background is in community development and in storytelling. So that is not my particular expertise, Chris. I don't know if you have anything to add there. When we say bringing Web3 to space, we really mean, you know, bringing blockchain technology, bringing experiences, bringing, you know, people on Earth into space, both in the metaverse and in real life.
Well, and self-custody through wallets and international currency, you know, crypto's international currency, all that stuff is obviously going to be the clear winner as well. As far as internet connection and pinging and stuff, that would be a question for Josh, who's not on right now, but we'll have to ask him and I'll let you know.
Yeah, DM us and we'll hook you up with someone that actually can answer that question.
Because the trip to Mars is a long one, so you definitely would want to be playing Call of Duty if you could.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds good. I quit my job. Today's my first day without a job, so I'm
congratulations,
trying to figure out
what, Micah.
I'm figuring out what's hot in the Web3 space. You know, if they're going to throw some of that Bezos money at me to learn Web3 in space, I'm down.
Mike is going to leave his wife and kids to learn a Web3 in space. Now we know where your priorities are at, Micah. Nick, what do you say we get these winners going? What do you think?
No, I think it's a bad idea. Let's just do that later. Actually, give me 1 second. I got to pull up the retweet picker. What I was going to say is, if you haven't retweeted it, you got one more minute here. While I find the app that I use, and I got the app. So yeah, okay. Let's do it.
Winner coming up, ladies and gentlemen. Here, who's going to space, maybe?
Who's maybe going to space? In terms of winning, you got to be here, and you're going to have to shoot me at least a DM if we can't find you in the audience. So that's the way that's going to work. So I'll pick the first one, and we can go from there.
Go ahead. I'll hit you with a little drum roll, buddy.
Okay. When is it gonna go? When is it gonna hit?
What, the drum roll? No, don't go off the drum roll. It's a long drum roll.
We'll get to the end. I can't even hear it anymore. No one can hear the drum roll. It's not even dude. What a drum roll! I mean, what a flop.
I pressed the wrong button on the system.
Okay, we're waiting. Still very quiet. Still pretty quiet. All right, thanks for that. That was anticlimactic, Pio. The winner is LVNJNFT. LVNJNFT 2050. 2050, I like that.
They are in the crowd. I'm inviting them to speak. They are in the crowd. LVNJ.
Wow. That's a first.
That's a first. They are in the crowd. And I invited them to speak. This might actually be easy for once. Let's work on the second person while LVNJ starts coming on stage.
Can I get a drum roll? Ooh, that's loud. Louder. Second one, @_carnosity. Carnosity.
Is that C-A-R?
Yes, _CARNOSITY.
Not seeing that person, but Twitter.
@Carnosity.
Twitter rugs us, so there is a problem. It's possible that that person's in the crowd right now. Carnosity, DM Nick or me if you are in the crowd. The other person, LVN or whatever, still not on stage, but I saw you in the audience. I know you were in the audience. DM
Shoot
Nick.
Me a DM. Carnosity and LVNJ, blah, 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 blah. Send me a message to verify that you are in here if you're going to win this, because otherwise you're getting punted. You're getting punted. And you know what's going to happen? I'm going to get a DM from somebody in moments that's going to be like, yo, you said my name. I was on stage every time.
Well, since that happens every time, maybe we should just, you know, announce these winners, because you know that there's going to be that DM.
Okay, next one. If you're one of the first winners and you didn't DM me, here's LVNJ. There you go. I got a message.
LVNJ.
Congratulations. Said I didn't get the invite, but I'm here. And I'm going to say you won. @_carnosity. You got to DM me right now. Oh, got it. Wow, this is 2 for 2.
2 for 2, baby.
Congratulations. You won.
All right, we got one more.
Present. We got one more. Maverickian. 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 You're a winner. And I'm getting messages from people who didn't win.
That always also happens.
Not interested in them. Someone says mama needs a new pair of shoes. Here's Maverickian.
Maverickian, what's going on?
Wow, we're 3 for 3. You won. Okay, well, to all three of you, we will send you an intro. I don't know how they're going to claim it. I'm assuming I'll send those usernames over to Space Plus NFT.
Yeah, send the usernames over. We'll get their wallets. We mint tomorrow, so we'll get them their passes later this week after mint has finished. Our allow list starts tomorrow, and then our wait list starts on Wednesday. There's also a pin. There's a tweet on the Space Plus tweet where you can still join our wait list for a short time today while we're until our Solidity devs kill us for the last wallet list. And then, yeah, we'll be opening up the application right after for people to apply as our first community astronaut to represent us. Everybody who is a holder will also benefit from that flight because all the pieces will be going to space. We're going to always, you know, we bought that ticket before we launched, and we sent three people on a zero-G flight last month with an astronaut, like an astronaut trained them, took them up on zero-G, and that was before we launched as well. So imagine what kind of stuff we have in the roadmap post-launch. And that's our whole thing. We're a utility-focused space company, a Web3 space company. And these passes are what are the start. But then after the announcement of the winner of the astronaut, they'll be redeemed for our Starborn characters, our avatar. And you can see a preview of that in my icon. The art is really killer.
So awesome. Well, everybody, make sure you follow Space Plus. Emily's running that account. She's on stage right now. Make sure you follow Space Plus. Follow Chris, you know, for financial advice. No, I'm just kidding, Chris. But obviously, really cool project. Yeah, for what it's worth, we have someone that works in the space industry in the crowd. I don't know if they want me to disclose their name, so I'll just stay on the safe side and not disclose it. But they said that they're what?
You're going to be like, we have someone who's a famous astronaut in the audience. I'm not sure if they want us to say their name. Now I'm just like sitting on the cliff here.
All right. Well, I'm DMing him to see if he's okay with me mentioning his name. But he said that this presentation absolutely won him over and he was very, very impressed. So you got some legit space industry folks impressed in the crowd right now. He's typing. Let's see. He said, of course, Mike Mongo.
Yeah, I'm just clicking through. I just saw his name.
Yeah, Mike Mongo approves of this, and I think he like literally is down in Cape Canaveral where they launched the rockets. So you don't get more legit than that. That's like you know, being in Nashville if you want to be the next Elvis Presley or something like that. But yeah, I mean, look, thanks so much for coming, gang. You know, Emily, Chris, Space Plus family, you guys are doing some real stuff. This is the stuff that I was talking about that, you know, gets built through a bear market and actually has substance. So it doesn't, you know, it doesn't go the way of like the ICO bullshit projects. And we've just been really happy to have you on the show and to collaborate with you today.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we'll look back on this and we'll be grateful that you were apologizing to having us on the show.
I'm glad you guys got the joke. I'm glad you thought it was funny.
Sure.
Make sure that you guys follow Space Plus, follow Chris, super dope project. Try to win a chance to go to space if that's your thing. But yeah, thanks so much for coming, gang. This is the NFT Morning Show. We do this Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30. Yeah, what?
I just want to say, you thought Mike Mongo was going to be hesitant about you dropping his name? I don't understand.
Like, you never know, man. You never know. If he like doesn't want his reputation to be, you know, associated. Look, when you're a legit space person, you never know. I was just, look, I'm just, you know, minding my piece.
It's kind of you to do that.
I'm trying to be kind, man. I'm not blowing up people's spot the way that you do, Nick. I'm just saying. But yeah, this show happens Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern. We're not going anywhere. We hope that we will see you guys tomorrow. Come on now. Space Plus, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go.